Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. As we come around your word this morning, Father, we just ask that you would give us hearts to hear, ears to hear, a mind to understand. Grant us, Lord, that spirit of wisdom and revelation to receive what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today is the first day of the month, December. Where I come from, they say if you get to December, you know, in any given year, you should be thanking God. You know, so we thank God for his faithfulness. You know, he's seen us through this year so far, and we're here today. You know, just to give God thanks. And as I think Glenn mentioned earlier, today is Advent Sunday. So happy Advent Sunday. And happy new month. Amen. So can anyone tell me what Advent Sunday is about? Just as a brief introduction into my message. Eating chocolate. I like that. I think, you know, you got where I'm going. Advent Sunday, you know, is the traditionally is the first Sunday as part of the liturgical year in most traditional churches. It's a time of preparation for Christmas and for the return of Christ. It's usually the fourth Sunday before Christmas. I've got people here checking on me. just, you know, some of you might have already got your Advent calendars out already, but like, you know, Karen said, all I'm interested in is just the chocolates. If I can nick one. Praise God. And, you know, my daughter is very my daughter Sophia is very into Advent calendars and that. And we got her one, and I said, you have to share the chocolate. But actually, what she's got is got the one that's got superheroes. So I said, oh, you got to share your superheroes, you know, because that's, for me, that's the part of the fun of it. You know, and I did a deal with her this morning. I said, look, I'll give you some chewing gum and you're going to share your superheroes with me. Praise God. But, you know, it's just the time to, you know, as we look forward to, you know, Christmas, you know, Advent is the time where we start to prepare our hearts, you know, to celebrate the birth and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his second coming. So my message this morning is basically a brief word to encourage us about making the most of this Advent season, you know, to share the love of Jesus, you know, to reach out to our community, you know, to tell them about Jesus, because that's what it's all about. You know, as we've been singing in a song, you know, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's make this Advent season about Jesus. You know, do you believe that the coming of Jesus, you know, into this world is the best news ever? Do you believe? You don't sound very convincing. Oh, praise God. As I was preparing this message, you know, one of the songs that, you know, really, you know, got a hold of me was, you know, this song where they say, go tell it on the mountain, over the hill and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us to do, you know, this season. you know, as we look forward to Christmas, as we anticipate, you know, as we plan, as we prepare, we buy presents, he wants us to go and tell it on the mountain. You know, and the song we were singing earlier about shout Jesus, you know, to the mountain, shout it on the streets, shout it everywhere, you know, really captures the heart of, you know, what I believe God wants us to share with each other this morning. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill and everywhere. So if you don't remember anything, you know, about what I'm going to say, the rest of what I'm going to say, go tell it on the mountain. Let's tell Jesus to our neighbors, to our colleagues, you know, this season. Another thought that came to my mind was, you know, do you know that the Church of Jesus Christ is the only organization that exists for the benefit of non-members? Think about it. You know, the whole reason why we are alive, you know, the whole reason why when you get born again, you don't get raptured and, you know, straight away is because there is a mission. There's an assignment to go and tell others what Jesus has done in our lives. That is our primary goal, you know, to know Jesus and to make him known everywhere, through our life, through our deeds, through our testimonies, and through the preaching of his word. So I'm just going to take us to a passage of scripture which really captures this very well. Praise the Lord. So if you got your Bible, please go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'll read from verse 14. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 1. It's a scripture that we're all, you know, familiar with. It says, the Word became flesh, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, Christmas is about God becoming flesh. The Word becoming flesh, the Logos becoming flesh and living amongst us and not seeing his glory. You know, if you've seen his glory, you want to share his glory with others. Verse 15, it says, John bore witness about him. This is what he said. This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me was before me because he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law came through Jesus, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's right hand, has made him known. And this is the testimony that John gave when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what are you then? Are you Elijah? He said, no, I am not. Are you the prophet? He said, no. He answered, no. So they said to him, what are you? Or who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered, I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place near Bethany, where John, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This was he whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but because for this purpose I came baptizing in water, that he might be revealed to Israel. John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend on him like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend, he is the one who will baptize in the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Hallelujah. You know, this short reading, you know, basically captures John the Baptist as the first evangelist, you know, who came to announce the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ. And, you know, he wasn't the Messiah, but he came to bear witness, to testify about Jesus. And one of the things that strikes me there is that, you know, as he was preaching in the desert and telling people to repent and come to God, people were already going to make him the star and the focus. And he said, "Look, I am not the man. I am not the Messiah. I am not the prophet. I am a voice." Hallelujah. I am a voice in the wilderness. The focus was not about him, but about who he was about to introduce. And in verse 29 that we just read, it says that the next day he saw Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what we as the church is meant to be doing. Pointing people to the Savior who was born at Christmas. So John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And one of the things that strikes me is that from that moment on, John's ministry began to, you know, fade away, and Jesus' ministry began to emerge. And the reality is that as Christians, you know, there's always this temptation, you know, to make the message of Christ and Christmas about us, about things, about presents, about the busyness, even about family time. But my word of exhortation to us today is, let's make this season about Jesus, about Christ. Because even John, who was the first person who came to reveal who Jesus was, that was his mission. You know, to point people to the Christ, to point people to the Savior. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Praise the Lord. What were Jesus' first last words to his disciples? Can anyone help me? Say that again. "Go and make disciples of him." Jesus' last words to his disciples, and by extension to us, is to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those words still resonate today. You know, as we look forward to Christmas, let's have at the back of our mind that our mission as Christians, as followers of Christ, is to go and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's still our call to go. And you and I have a part to play in this. And Jesus has promised in the Matthew version of this commission that he will be with us. We're not going to be alone. You know, he's going to be with us. He has promised us that his presence will be with us even to the very end of the age. I want to take us to one example in the passage that we just read. So, verse 35, it says that some people heard John's testimony. It says, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus walking by, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. His two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. There are people out there who are waiting to hear our testimony about Jesus. And when they hear, they will start to follow Jesus. They will be more interested in following Jesus. Just like John the Baptist spoke, and two of his disciples said, they followed Jesus. And as they were following Jesus, Jesus was like, what are you doing? Are you stalking me? What are you seeking? And they said to him in verse 38, Rabbi, where do you stay? Imagine, you know, someone just heard you testify and they want to know more. Sometimes, you know, we can be surprised about how quickly, when we share the good news with someone, they will become interested to know more. And that's what happened here. They said, where do you stay? And Jesus said to them, come and you will see. Come and you will see. There are people that are waiting this Christmas, you know, to hear our testimony, to hear that invitation. Come and watch, come and see. We're doing a nativity project about Jesus. And all we have to do is say, come and you will see. And they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him for a day, and it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard him speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother and Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus and looked at him. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon. You will be called Peter. You will be called Cephas, which means Peter. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone who has found Jesus here? Have you found the Messiah? Let's have a show of hands. Have you found the Messiah? Have you found the Christ? We've all found the Christ. But there's a responsibility, there's a calling on us, just like Andrew, to go and not keep the news to ourselves. What did Andrew do when he found Jesus? Somebody help me. Do I have a witness here? What did he do? He found his own brother, Peter, and said, we have found the Messiah. You know, I know there are many of us here who we have siblings or family members or uncles and aunties who don't know Christ. But maybe we've never told them about our Jesus, about the Messiah. We need to take a leaf out of Andrew's book. Amen? Andrew was the one who introduced Simon, his brother, to Jesus. And we can do the same. Andrew couldn't wait. He was so excited about what he found that he had to share with his brother. And you know, what really struck me is that the moment that Peter met Simon met Jesus, Jesus spoke into his life and said, "You are Peter. You are a rock." So there are people that are connected to each and every one of us who, unless we share what we have found, they will never hear. They will never know. And I know some of us here, you know, when we say outreach or when we say evangelism, we say, "Oh, I'm not comfortable talking with strangers." It's not just about talking to strangers. It's about being willing to share what you have found. So even if you're not comfortable sharing with strangers, you can share with your family. You can share with your friends. You can share with your colleagues. You can share with your neighbors, whom you can bring to Jesus. That's what Andrew did. He went and found his brother. And the Bible says he brought him to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? There are people within our influence that we can bring to Jesus. And Simon, who Andrew brought to Jesus, became more prominent in the following of Jesus. So it's not about who comes first. There are people out there that God is going to use mightily, but we are the link to say, "I have found Jesus." I'm going to give you another example, which is the one that really brings it home. You know, the story of a woman who was very, because of her reputation, you know, she doesn't want to be seen in public. You know, but she met Jesus. And Jesus changed her story. So if you go with your Bible, just a few chapters, John chapter 4, the story of the Samaritan woman, as another example of a woman who met Jesus and couldn't wait to share what she found. I'm going to take it from, I'm not going to read the whole thing. So I'll take it from verse 7. It says, "A woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, asked me for a drink? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.'" Hallelujah. Jesus is the living water. "The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep.'" You know, many times when we want to talk to people about Christ, we have to start where they are. We have to talk about mundane things. We have to talk about everyday things. And then hope that the conversation would develop into something more about Christ, about the real need. You know, the woman wanted to talk about water, but Jesus was, you know, really showing that there's a need that she had, which was more than all the relationships that she had could satisfy. There's that hole in every human heart. But, you know, we want to talk about everything. We want to talk about football. We want to talk about the weather in England. But that could be a doorway to share about the one who is the reason for the season. And then, so the woman said, "Are you greater than our father, Jacob?" Verse 12, "He gave us the well and he drank from it himself." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never thirst again. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said, give me this water so that I don't have to be thirsty and keep coming to draw water. And then Jesus said, go and call your husband. And the woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one that you currently have is not your husband. In this, what you have said is true. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Jesus knew how to take the conversation from mundane things to bring it real to where we are. And that's what he's called us to do. You know, you can be talking about football and there's a doorway, you know, to say, you know, this is what Jesus has done in my life. And he can change your life just like he changed mine. And that's what happened here. And where I'm going is really when Jesus ministered to this woman and introduced himself. Verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you, I am he. I am he. The woman was looking forward to the Messiah coming, but the Messiah was right there having a conversation with her. You know, there are people out there, you know, that are looking for something. They're looking for the meaning of life. And we are right there with them. And God wants to use us to introduce the Christ, the Savior of the world, to them. And as soon as the woman, you know, was touched, the Bible says she left her water jar. She came to fetch water, but she left everything to go and share what Jesus has done in her life. He says, come and see a man who told me all I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? This Christmas, you know, God wants to use us, you know, to tell the world what Jesus has done in our lives. Do we still believe that it's the best news ever? Is it really the best news ever? It is the best news ever. I remember, you know, years ago when I gave my life to Christ. Oh, man. I was so excited. You know, I couldn't wait to tell everyone, even to a fault. Whether you want to hear or you don't want to hear. And we need some of that. Because, you know, I think as we grow older, we start to become too grown up. God wants us to be like a child. You know, it's like you've discovered the cure for cancer. And you want to keep it to yourself. We need to rediscover the wonder and the excitement of what God has done in our lives. And like this woman who forgot what she came for, and she just ran. She forgot that she didn't want to be seen in public. She forgot that she'd had five husbands, you know, and the one that was now with her is not her husband, because Jesus touched her life. And, you know, that's really what Christmas is all about. Rediscovering the wonder of our Savior and what he's done in our lives. and sharing that freely with others. Because the world is dying, you know, to know about the Savior. But they're looking for it in all the wrong places. They're looking for it at the pub. They're looking for it at the stadiums. You know, they're looking for it in even in human relationships. But only Jesus can fill that hole. But we've got to share it. We've got to share him. You know, there's a scripture in Romans. It says, how would they hear unless someone tells them? How would they call on the one whom they have not believed in? How would they preach unless they are sent? God is sending you and I to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It says that, you know, when she, you know, came to the city, many of the Samaritans in the city believed, verse 39, because of the word that the woman had testified. He told me all that I ever did. There are many people out there in our community, in our workplaces, that are waiting to hear, he told me all I ever did. And verse 42 is another one that really strikes me. It says, they, the Samaritans, they said, we no longer just believe because of what you said. We have seen him for ourselves. So this Christmas, it could be just an invitation. And the person will say, I have seen for myself that this Jesus that you've been talking about is real. He is alive. In 2024, he is alive. They said, we ourselves have heard him and we know that this man is indeed the Savior of the world. You know, sometimes when we talk about Christmas, we speak about it generally. You know, you go out there in the world and they'll say, do you know about Christmas? Do you know what it's all about? And people will tell you in religious terms, yeah, it's about the Christ, but it's not personal. For these Samaritans, it became personal. We not just believe because you said, because you know, like people will say to you, oh, that's your belief, that's your opinion, it works for you, but we need to come to a place where we become persuaded, we become convinced that this Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior, church? Let me encourage you. You know, when we talk about, you know, sharing the good news, it's not our job to convert anybody. So don't worry. God has not given us that burden. The burden is with him. Our job is just to share, just like the Samaritan woman. Our job is just to share what Christ has done in our lives. And God will do the rest. To invite people to Christmas, you know, is like saying, come. Come and see a man who told me all I ever did. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And the scripture says, blessed, happy is everyone who trusts in him. Because no one who encounters Jesus remains the same. You know, whenever I never get tired of reading the story of the Samaritan woman, because she had everything against her. You know, the fact that she was a woman, the fact that she was Samaritan, and then the fact that she had a bad reputation in the community. Everything was against her. But Jesus broke the protocols to save her. And God wants to use you and I to break protocols, to bring someone into the kingdom. You know, there are people, you know, maybe because of difference of race, difference of culture, you know, even people that are seen as outcasts, whether they are homeless or they are on drugs or whatever, you know, that we just say, ah, you know, these are the untouchables. But Jesus came to touch the untouchable. And he's going to do that through you and I. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. We are his hands. We are his feet. Where we go, he goes. Amen? When we are in Tesco's doing our Christmas shopping, he is right there with us. Everywhere we go, because he's not going to come down from heaven to tell people about himself now. He's going to use you and I. So the Samaritans testified that this Jesus is the Savior of the world. It doesn't matter your background or your past. You can be used by God to bring others to Christ. This is the season and every season of life to follow the example of the Samaritan woman. She didn't allow her past reputation to prevent her from going to share what she had discovered. And even the men of the city were they were excited. They wanted to come and find out what has happened to this woman. What has happened to this woman? And they came and they saw for themselves. You know, there are people that are waiting for you and I to tell them about Jesus. And they will come and they will see for themselves. Another example, as I wrap up, you know, is the example of the man whom Jesus delivered from many demons. The Bible says that he begged Jesus that he might be with him. But Jesus did not allow him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And the Bible says that he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis. He couldn't keep it to himself. Decapolis means 10 cities. He went to 10 cities, you know, to tell what Jesus has done for him. And everyone who heard it marveled. If you want the scripture reference for that, it's Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Some of us, God has done so much for us, but we are keeping it to ourselves. If the world will hear half of your testimony of what Christ has done for you this Christmas, there will be revival in London. Amen. There will be revival in Romford. Will you dare to share your testimony this Christmas with a friend, with a colleague, with a neighbor, or a man or woman in the street corner? God wants to use you and I. I know we've got an outreach. We've got Nativity starting tomorrow. That's one outlet. You know, we've got an outreach on the 7th of December as well, which we're going to be singing carols and proclaiming Christ as the Savior of the world in the community. But I just want to encourage us. It's not just Glenn's job or Pastor Mike's job. It's for all of us. Every child of God is part of the outreach team. You know, you might not be comfortable speaking with strangers, but let's take a leaf out of Andrew's book. He went and brought his brother to Jesus. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Acts chapter 8, where during the time when the church was being persecuted, the Bible says that everyone, you know, was scattered. But only the apostles, the 12 apostles, remained in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that those who were scattered, everywhere they went, they preached the word. So we are all, you know, scattered. You know, we've all got different jobs, you know, different businesses, you know, places where I will never be able to go. And that's where God wants us to be sharing his word. Everywhere we go, everywhere the church went, they proclaimed the good news. And that's God's plan, that you and I will preach everywhere we find ourselves, just like the early church. This is how the gospel spread to other nations. Remember the passage says, "You shall be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's how God fulfilled that promise. Will you reach out this Christmas and Advent season? Will you be his witness? Jesus Christ is coming back again. And his charge to you and I is to occupy till he comes. How do we occupy? By going out to share his love. By going out as his ambassadors on earth. Will you represent him? Will you represent him as his ambassador tomorrow, this coming week, sharing his love? His word to you and I this morning is the same word that he said to the disciples in John 20, verse 21. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Go in Jesus' name and tell it on the mountain, over the hill and everywhere, that Jesus Christ is Lord." Praise the Lord.